Welcome to Badly Written Boy, a reciting of my teenage years and my 20s, now as a 40-something. How do I remember all these things? I wrote it all down in a diary. Badly. Enduring with me on this retrospective, cringeworthy experience is my wife, who has never read my diaries.
How are you?
Well, I was fine until I came out after getting ready for bed, as I normally do before these podcasts, to find out that you're filming us as well as recording audio. So for those that are going to watch this with their eyeballs, this is not my normal attire.
What are you talking about?
I am ready for bed.
Don't lie. You wear that every day.
It is wash day. Well, and I've just washed my hair. Don't laugh at wash day. I only do it once a week.
I was going to say something worse than that. But anyway.
The curly girls know. And I'm wearing my Five t-shirt because I just went to the Five concert, but also because I wear this to bed.
Uh-huh.
And if you could see the lower half of me, I would be wearing pajamas.
Okay. You've got a stain on there already, by the way.
Well, of course I do. I have stains on everything.
Top right.
It's just water, isn't it?
No, it looks like blood.
Thank you for the warning. It's very appreciated.
Ah.
For my millions of fans, maybe they'll think that I'm like down to earth, like Jenny from the Block.
Yeah.
Because she's really cool.
I don't know who that is, but...
You know who Jennifer Lopez is?
Oh, yeah, no idea.
You are so far away from anything that is topical. Jennifer Lopez at the moment is going viral on TikTok because she's trying to be down to earth and is just being the most ridiculous person.
Like what?
So, you know, do you know that she's done this music video that's a movie, spent $20 million of her own money to make an album into a movie? And it's ridiculous. Nothing makes sense. At all. And she's kind of done like a documentary of behind the scenes and stuff. And she just keeps talking about how she's Jenny from the Block, which she's not, and how she's from the Bronx, but she's Puerto Rican. And it's just, there's this one scene that's going completely viral right now. And she's just worked out in the gym or something. And she sat like on a bench, like looking all cool. And she like shakes her hair up. And she's like, yeah, this reminds me of like, you know, crazy me when I was like 14, just hanging out on the street with no money. You know, oh yeah, she was so cool and free and whatever. It's, I'm going to show you the TikTok video afterwards. It is insane.
It sounds pretty self-indulgent.
It is 100% self-indulgent.
I mean, not and like doing a podcast about your old diary self-indulgent, but, no. You know, it's up there.
I mean, we didn't spend any money on this, so I feel like it's not. And we're also, we genuinely are relatable. We are not millionaires like she is that lives in Hollywood, whereas she's trying too hard to be relatable.
Yeah.
And trying like, oh, look at me, I came from where you came from. I'm still Jenny from the Block.
And
used to have a little, now I have a lot. No matter where I go, I know where I came from. Still, from the Bronx.
She's still married to Ben Affleck,
Batfleck,
right?
I think so.
Yeah.
He always looks very, very sad wherever they go.
Mm. So, I'm trying to remember where we even got
I'm
to.
Pretty sure we finished 2004.
So is this the first 2005?
I think so, yeah.
Episode?
Yeah.
January 2005, little over 6 hours into 2005, I was awoken by the immature scuffling of two children. I removed the jumper sleeve that lay across my eyes, and standing at the end of the bed, there they were, looking at me with great intent and innocence, as if I was somehow recently resuscitated. Grace proceeded to try and embed several of her stubby little five-year-old fingers into my eyes in an attempt to get me out of bed. Eventually, the persistence paid off, and I was up. I've become something of a plaything to them both, but I'm only one person and the attention given to one results in the envy of the other. Barry and Bronwyn soon took charge of their offspring and left the pleasant surroundings of Maroochydore. Okay, so we're still in Maroochydore on holiday.
Yeah.
That leaves just myself and Dad until Irene arrives tomorrow.
Irene!
Dad and I went to the beach this morning. Then we went home, had a spot of lunch, and went out to the Sunshine Plaza to spend more money that I don't have.
We so went, you got sacked from your job?
I got sacked, yes. And I chucked in the golf job to continue at Crest, and then Crest laid me off.
Correct.
So I'm currently unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
We went our separate ways. Dad needed jeans, and I didn't really know what I wanted. About half an hour later, I was carrying a bag with Led Zeppelin, the best of.
You're getting me sick. And a DVD. Tell me there's a DVD.
Of course there's a DVD. There's always a DVD. Count of Monte Cristo and High Fidelity.
Oh, dear.
Zeppelin rocks like rock messiahs should.
What do you do? Like, I don't understand how you can justify spending money on this crap. Like,
I can. It's Led Zeppelin. It's the greatest band of all time.
You need it to live. And you are spending your money on DVDs and more CDs constantly. And you haven't got any way to replenish the money.
No.
And then you will feel bad about, you know, jumping on Irene again.
More sponging.
Oh, my
incoming.
God.
I woke up startlingly early due to the brightness of the sun and the humming of the traffic below. Out on the veranda overlooking the impressive Marucci River, I enjoyed a not overly nutritious breakfast of Fruit Loops.
That's not like you.
Not at all. Then I wondered what time Irene would get there. A few text messages and phone calls later.
Oh, Irene, come to me. I don't have any money left and want you to buy me some food.
I've got a couple of DVDs to watch at least.
You do indeed.
It became quite apparent she was too partied out and would not arrive until later. It was probably for the best. Dad was itching to get out somewhere, so we went to the beach via a shop called Out of Africa. It was pretty cool. I spotted a wooden elephant I will buy up at a later date. Elephants are my favourite animal, I reckon. There's something fascinating about their mannerisms.
You still do like elephants.
Yep. For dinner, Dad had some of his disgusting fish, but Irene and I opted to get a seafood takeout and some chips. Then we watched a poor comedy starring Jason Lee and went to bed. I wonder what it was. We did, however, make a few mistakes, shall we say, that will need correcting tomorrow.
What right. could that mean?
Okay.
Did you have sex too loudly? It's because you were destroying her abdomen. Dad went out to do his sketching again today, leaving myself and Irene the space to do whatever we wanted. Probably for the best, being that they don't seem to get along that famously. Irene and I went to the beach. I must have swam for an hour. I would have stayed in longer, too, such is the unpredictability of the waves. We also went to the doctors to sort out our mistake. Oh my God. Marcus?
What?
Terrible way to talk about it.
What?
Well, you obviously had sex without a condom.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were like, sort out our mistake. Oh. Well, I'm glad you did.
We
and
did.
Didn't have a baby with Irene.
Yes.
This afternoon, we went to Sunshine Plaza and saw Blade Trinity. So since she's got there, you have had takeout.
Mm-hmm.
You have paid for the morning after pill. And you've been to the movies. So if you had any money, I'm pretty sure it's gone now.
There might still be some Christmas funds left from Christmas gifts.
Mm.
But probably not.
Probably not. Then we did some food shopping so Irene could cook up a storm for me and Dad. It was delicious, but I didn't hear Dad squeeze out so much as a thank you for her efforts.
It's too exciting for his
I bet palate. Irene paid for the food as well and then came home and spent an hour cooking.
And then he didn't say anything.
No. Well, it's not fish with soy sauce, so.
No.
Irene's mobile was regularly going crazy. It now seems like she may have to go home early to sort out the restaurant payments for Lexine. She doesn't really want to leave, but the few days she has been here has been enough to detox after her New Year's party hangover. We looked in the surf shops, art galleries, and other local trades. Irene got the sunglasses she was after. I got a pewter neck pendant signifying the sun god. Again.
Seems pretty cool. Just what I need at this point.
I was going to say, is it necessary when you have no money?
I am the height of trend.
Then on the way back, I got Irene to stop off at Out of Africa so I could get my ebony elephant.
Ebony elephant?
Ebony elephant.
And do you think I still have that?
Well, you're married to her.
What? You enjoyed that way so much.
That was funny.
It was.
That was good. There was no visit to the beach today, but we did go for a swim in the pool at Crystal Waters. Irene got us takeout from the superbly entitled The Whole Hog. We had barbecue ribs and taters. Then later, we watched Hellboy and Big Fish, which we'd rented from Blockbusters. More money! Irene and I had a quieter morning in the unit. We finished watching Big Fish while we waited for Pam and Glenn to come up the coast. We decided to rendezvous with them at the Starbucks in Malula Bar. Money. Disaster struck when Glenn locked the car keys in Pam's car. He wasn't happy with this and was adamant he would break into the car with a coat hanger. before paying the RACQ $45 to unlock the car. The latter proved successful, much to Glenn's disgust. Much time had been wasted, but we had ice-cool frappers. Is that a Frappe. Real thing? Frappers.
Frappuccino.
And talked about the New Year celebrations while waiting for the RACQ. Pam dropped me off at the unit and they all went home. I was about to sit in the house and do nothing, so I firstly went for a swim. Then I walked to Mosh Pit Music and had a listen to Shadows Fall and Lamb of God's new albums. I enjoyed the first the most, and the guy behind the counter confirmed that they are playing in Brisbane on the 16th of February. Better still, the supporting band is As I Lay Dying, who I've wanted to hear for ages. Are you going to buy a ticket? Probably.
Hell yeah.
You've got no money. You were just spending it on nonsense. I also got the guy to stick their most recent album on. It was okay. I decided to get Shadow Falls, The War Within. So he did buy an album.
Yeah.
It could well be my last metal album and gig I go to.
Oof. Don't know about that.
Is that because you've got no money or because you think you're outgrowing metal?
I don't know. Maybe I was just a bit over it.
Maybe. Back at the unit, Dad and I got ready for a jog and I wasn't so great at it. It was the first time in a while. Dad and I went to the Pig and Whistle over at the Sunshine Plaza for food and beer. More money.
I didn't pay.
They had Beck's on tap, so I had that. Then I had a Guinness pie and mash while Dad had a steak burger. Then I beat Dad in pool, had another beer and left.
Today was the first of its kind since we'd been up here. It was raining. We decided, along with the rest of the local population, to go to the cover of the Sunshine Plaza. Having spent heavily on anything but clothes, now seemed the time to do just that. Dad also wanted more clothes, so we began in Myers. To my satisfaction, there was also a Ticketek located here, so I was able to inquire about the availability of Shadows Fall tickets.
Oh my god, the days before internet shopping.
$45.50 later, I am now assured entry to see the band at the arena on the 16th of February.
I mean, that's pretty cheap for a gig. In today's money.
Yeah, I guess. Back on the clothes front, I began trying on many three-quarter length pants.
Oh my god.
And trendy looking vests.
I can just imagine what you look like. Three-quarter length pants and trendy vests. Amazing.
The pants didn't satisfy me. And I wouldn't want to bring the side of me in a vest on anybody. So moved on.
Good choice.
Just as I was about to give up on clothes, I found a good deal on at the Powerhouse. I got a long pair of beige shorts. Nice. Beige, spelt B-A-I-G-E.
Oh, that's painful.
And a brown and beige polo top.
I mean,
I do remember that, yeah.
You do not still have it.
I think it might have been one of the photos on the dating website when we first met.
Oh my god, maybe.
Friday the 7th. This morning, despite the average weather outlook, we drove up to Noosa. I think I remember Noosa being really nice, but it has suffered a chain of unfortunate events. Firstly, due to its north-facing shoreline, the current has brought in a foul-smelling algae, which washes into the shore and gathers. Today was fetid, and this humid weather causes the sticky air to hold the potent stink, making it unbearable at times. Really selling it here. I was tempted to get a different diary. This one is a bit too big. Yep.
You're doing like 2 pages per day as well.
In these, yeah.
It's a lot after more a sub- item.
Yeah, it's too much. After a subway lunch, we went up and around the Noosa National Park. It scales the cliffs, and you can get a view right out to sea. We watched a naturally formed water pot in the rocks below. Oh, what's one of those? It was named the boiling pot because of the... Oh, okay. So the water rises rapidly and bubbles over the holes in the stone below.
Today marks the eve of our departure from Maroochydore. At an early stage in the day, Dad was keen to get me interested in enrolling at QUT on their landscape course. Wrong there, by the way.
How would that work? I haven't even got any work experience yet.
No idea. Maybe once you do the postgrad in Australia.
Ah, he's trying to preempt. Yeah.
I don't know how appropriate it would be for me to jump back on the uni bandwagon, having not yet had any practical experience in landscape. Dad seems to think it would be a good way of attracting the attention of landscape firms. That reason alone is not one which would persuade me to enroll, but I will look into it. QUT looks awesome, and I do miss uni people. But again, those aren't the right reasons for academic commitment.
So I wonder if I had chosen to do a course there, even go through the undergrad again there, would he have paid for it?
I would expect so.
Yeah.
Because he wants you to stay in Australia, doesn't he?
Yeah.
The only deterrent factor from my point of view is I'd only ever be able to do half a year of the course, even if I was accepted onto a course. Maybe that's because you're due to go home because of your flight.
I guess. I'm not thinking as broadly there.
Where today was concerned, we mainly spent it around at Mooloolah Bar. This apparently being the most sheltered place to be on a windy day. We got there about 11:30 and went into the sea straight away. That part of the beach was particularly crowded and extra care was needed when body surfing so not to smash into other unsuspecting bathers. After the swim, we had a light lunch and sat in the park right on the beachfront. Wonder who paid for the lunch?
Someone else.
Not you. I had what I can only describe as being a cheese-topped quiche burger. Oh my God, I think you mean quiche and you spelt it K-E-E-S-H. I was like, what is quiche?
So we've got beige and we've got quiche.
Quiche. Oh, that is unfortunate. That is quiche. Not even...
Am I like jokingly spelling it there?
No, you're not jokingly doing anything, Mark. This is how you think you spell a quiche. I mean, to be fair, I didn't recognize it written down, but when I said it out loud, I was like, oh, you mean quiche.
Yep.
But you've spelt it quiche. Isn't it great how you understand what I'm saying when I say it's supposed to be quiche, but you spelt it quiche, even though they both sound the same?
Yeah, I getcha.
That was before a creamed Lamington. Having been back to the unit to clear up for our departure tomorrow, we soon went out again, this time for dinner. Dad paid for it, but it might not have been that way had we not relocated his wallet this morning. He'd been down in the car and had rested his wallet on the car roof. Luckily, it had not been when he was pulling off. He would be furious if that happened.
I can understand if it's like a cup of coffee or like a bottle or something, but why would you take your wallet out of pocket to put it on top of a car roof?
Who knows?
You know, hold it in one hand and then like, you know, do the car lock on the other or something.
The restaurant we went to was the Wharf Tavern and it was very nice inside. The table had been pre-booked and the staff were friendly. Not only this, but predominantly good-looking ladies.
Ah.
You have a girlfriend.
I do.
We ordered these ocean stacks and they were just that. Huge. So big, in fact, I didn't even finish mine. Then we went for a few games of pool. I was twice victorious from two games, but it was obvious my opponent, Dad, was no pool player. So mean.
I probably enjoyed that.
You did. It was a nice way to round off our holiday, but it is so nice in this part of the world. One just wants to stay.
I was just bagging it before because it stank of algae.
But this is what you do, isn't it? You don't actually have any convictions.
Yeah.
You will just...
I guess there were some nice aspects to it. Like, it is a nice part of the country.
2 week break came to an end today. It took me almost no time at all to get my remaining belongings together, but we did not leave as swiftly as that. I'm not sure whether it was Dad's reluctancy to pay any extra on cleaning or his obsessive nature which kept us behind, but it was ridiculous.
I am just an ungrateful twat you at are. This point in time.
I mean, that's like, I was going to say that's teenagers. You're not a teenager. You're in your 20s. But still, that's young people in general because you don't understand like how hard it is to work for something.
Yeah, I'm not paying for half of what I'm getting.
No. You're only paying for things that you want yourself, like DVDs and going to the cinema and...
Obviously still in this kind of rebellious mindset where I just still expect everything on a plate.
Yeah, and you feel like you're owed... I was half expecting him to whip out a toothbrush and begin cleaning the toilet. And this whole time you're not helping him, clearly.
I'm just sitting there.
I skimmed a stone across the Maroochy River as we were about to leave, then we made our way back to Brisbane. I am convinced Dad could well be Gollum. What a thing to say. He looks like Gollum and his precious would be his money and assets. It's such a bore to hear about the great importance of money and why I should invest as quickly as I can. Money has consumed Dad, the love of it, that is. We got home and it was only lunchtime. I unpacked my stuff and was immediately down to my recently purchased computer. I decided I would look at my digital photos. I ran into complications, though. I plugged the USB device in before the programs had been installed to recognize this. Consequently, I don't seem to have a driver functioning which would recognize me doing so, and is most frustrating.
Well, that's super interesting, isn't it?
See, you write this, like, quite eloquently, but we all know that you're just like, fuck, 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 and goes, like, slamming things.
Yeah.
I mean, you do that now and things move a lot quicker electronically now than they would have done in 2005.
I probably didn't know what a driver was at that point.
No. This evening we went to Granny and Grandpa's and all was going fine. We had many stories to tell of our holiday, but as we were all sat down at the dinner table, something horrible happened. Granny started to seize up and started shaking. She was having an epileptic fit and it was most frightening. I didn't know Granny had epilepsy.
Yeah. And I'd never seen anyone have fit before.
I had never seen this before. And there wasn't really anything I could do about it. Grandpa and Dad secured her arms and prevented her meal from sliding off the table. The important things. Don't let the food fall on the floor, darling.
It could have scalded her.
Leave the woman. Save the food's on the table. I'll never forget the personal anguish I felt those few seconds, which now seem like longer. All I could think was don't stare, but more drastically, what would I do this second if Granny was to die? Oh, that must have been really scary.
It was pretty horrible.
I don't know if I could cope with that sort of fatal image embedded in my mind. On a much lighter note, Granny loved the lychees I picked.
She loved what?
The lychees that you picked. You were so random. Oh my God, my granny might die, but she loved the lychees.
And those were her last words. I love the lychees.
I didn't realize she liked them so much.
I made a list of things to do today, so there was no chance of me sitting around and doing nothing.
Lol. How many times have you made a list and not done anything? Also, that was the freakiest smile I think I've ever seen. You went.
I have this new lease of determination.
That wasn't funny about that. You. I have a new lease of determination. I cannot wait to hear at what point you lose that. I reckon it'll take about 12 hours.
I wouldn't know if it came on suddenly and it's just like, gotta do stuff. I have this new lease of determination that was triggered when I realised that I have been excessive in a few things that I do.
Oh my goodness. Self-recognition.
It is time for me to treat myself a bit better, get back to some sort of fitness regime and begin eating differently.
Here we go.
It's just cycles.
It is.
Cycles. I was awake quite early and went to town to sort out a few things. I had library books to return, new ones to borrow, and a lifestyle to change. And it starts at the library. I'd never been to the Brisbane Central Library before, and it took a while to find what I was looking for. Dieting books. I've not decided upon an actual diet to take, so much as to eliminate the consumption of specifically bad foods. It's more interesting than I'd imagined it being. January 11th. The healthy eating books from the library are helping me in the right direction. I went to the shop and bought a basket of healthy stuff, fruit, veg, rice crackers, nuts, etc. I bought all of the ingredients to make smoothies that I've recently likened to. It was probably unwise to have not checked out Dad's blender beforehand, but it was quite adventurous, as it turned out. First, it took me about 20 minutes to work out how to turn the darn thing on. You'd be surprised at how many pieces there were. Then I ran the gauntlet of turning the thing on and preparing for the worst. I inadvertently sprayed banana puree up the wall and could only snigger in my act. I reassembled the blender and found that a lid was most helpful. I put more banana and mangoes in, lychees, mango sorbet, ice, and tropical fruit juice in the top and watched it whirl. No blender ejaculation this time.
Nice.
The results were pretty good. The smoothie was not as smooth as I'd liked. The blender of Dad's was not the high-powered device the professionals use. I think I was probably looking for like a boost-style thing. Consequently, the end result was more blobby than smoothie. I went to the football training this evening. A smaller crowd of 15 turned out to take part in the Cooper test. This is a set of activities to evaluate one's speed, stamina, agility, and determination. It started with a 12-minute run.
Not the bleep test. Oh, no, sorry. This is different.
It started with a 12-minute run, then sit-ups, push-ups, then a sprint, and finally a jump test. I got a lift back from Ziggy and swapped numbers. Ooh, friends.
Football friend. When I got my busy self back to the house, I had a salad, and then I jumped onto the computer. Although I did know CAD, I did put my holiday photos onto CD, thanks to my USB amendments.
Yeah, accrediting that as work.
So much. I had to pull myself from ensuing computer games to go swimming. But as you may have noticed, I am dedicated to regaining fitness, healthy eating, and a better lifestyle.
Wow.
Some of this could go on like a motivation poster.
I reckon so.
I didn't feel as though I got much sleep last night, so I wasn't always on the ball. Day three. This morning was largely unpressing anyway, so it didn't matter. In fact, the most pressing thing I did was to get a couple of cups of coffee for Irene and Chippy. They were busy all morning sorting out the joint for Lexine's opening next Monday. I mostly sat to one side and continued to read The Hobbit. Why did she not help them? Irene had Alan's laptop in her possession, so I was able to check my emails. There were no games on the system, unsurprisingly. Why are you checking his computer for games?
And what would be on there anyway?
Other than solitaire that soon lost its appeal.
So I'm just sitting there reading The Hobbit, playing solitaire?
Yes.
While they're trying to sort out a restaurant?
Yes. Yes. Soon lost its appeal and I turned to paint for some cheap amusement.
Paint?
Paint.
See, I'm starting to help.
No. Paint on the computer.
No, sure.
Yes.
Not.
Yes, Mark. Yes.
So they're painting the restaurant and I'm sitting there on Microsoft Paint.
On Microsoft Paint. I wrote, come to Lexine's, the food is well yum, in spazzed up writing.
I bet they thought that was hilarious.
Hilarious.
I bet they stopped what they were doing.
When they are running around like headless chickens.
Yep. I bet they stopped what they were doing. Went out front, said, hey, everyone, check this out. It's so funny.
I love you, but if I was Irene's friend at the time, I'd tell her to dump you because you are a useless pile of poo.
At this point in time, there is not much redeeming.
It's not. About like, me. What are you giving her? You're not even helping her when she's running around like a headless chicken trying to open her own restaurant. Yep. You are literally sat in a corner trying to find anything to do.
Anything else to do.
That isn't help.
Absolute child.
Yes. Near lunchtime, Irene gave me a lift to Robina Station. She was busy and I'd never caught one there before. It's the most southerly station in the Southeast Queensland rail system. Anyway, the ticket machine was busted. I didn't have time to look for the ticket booth as a train was about to leave for Brisbane. So I bought no ticket and was edgy all the way home in case of an inspector. They never appeared, thankfully, but by the time I got home, it was nearly 3 and I was shattered. I fell asleep on the sofa and only awoke when Dad came home. I got him to give me a lift to footy again and was only a little bit late. It was a really tough session, but my knee wasn't too bad. I scored in the practice game, but fitness was the key. I got a lift back from Ziggy in his badass Ford Cortina.
So I've been told by the doctor to not do anything.
Yes.
And I'm just going
so
training anyway.
You've been told by the doctor to not do anything. So you're using that excuse when you should be helping other people or doing things that you don't want to do. But then you're not using that excuse as soon as there's something
that
you do
want
to do.
I
don't think you did say it, but I could imagine you were like, oh, I'd love to help. But my knee's a bit funny. It's my patella tendon.
I reckon I probably wouldn't even have used the excuse. I would have just sat there like a lazy ass.
Probably also. And then being like, Irene, are you ready to take me? Irene, I need to go and catch my train. Irene, I know you're busy. I know. But I don't really want to walk. I've got a funny knee.
I'm such a catch. My recent exertions lengthened my morning of slumber past the hour of 9. Although last night I had joked of an intent to watch some hardcore Bert Newton, subconsciously I did just that. There I was, back on the sofa, marginally engrossed in Buyer's World, eating cereal. Not to worry, there wasn't a high point of today. That wasn't the high point of today. I won't tell you what was, but here's how the rest went. I spent several hours on Championship Manager. Oh, God, here we go. But as I was saving my game, the program crashed. All was lost. I played Half-Life instead, and soon that was much more fun. It didn't mean much in the wider scheme of things, although for a short while I thought it would be cool to write down my own sci-fi story. But then I thought, well, I'll probably write 10 pages and start playing Half-Life again and never go back to it. I finished reading The Hobbit. That was worthwhile. bit of reading. I may even read Lord of the Rings one day. This evening, shortly after I'd finished the book, Dad got back and we went for a jog. I got all of the way around again and I even sped up at the end, which I haven't done for a while. Today was often a grotesque affair due to largely the acts of the weather and those of Dad. Firstly, the weather. It was warm, humid, making the task of jogging an absolute unpleasant affair. Dad has extinguished any remaining respect for Michelle or Mum. He has gone back on his word to help pay for some of Michelle's accommodation fees. His excuse? Apparently he feels he has fulfilled his child supporting duties.
Oh, wow.
With the terrible burden of supporting me.
Wow.
This is outrageous, of course.
Wow.
Okay. Yes, I'm a burden.
Yes.
At this point.
But all kids are.
Can you say if you've done for one that you can't do for the other?
That's horrendous. That's can you imagine saying that to ours? Sorry, Ethan, we already spent money on your brother's thing. That means
I'd feel awful saying it.
Yeah.
Never mind doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, this is outrageous, of course, but I don't know if I could say anything to Dad. I simply told Mom and Michelle that once I get a means of getting out, I will. The thing that annoys me is whilst he is reluctant to pay any more of Michelle's uni fees, he is meanwhile on the verge of buying a digital camera and a plane ticket to the United States. Not at this stage that he's obliged to pay. I think Michelle must be over 18 anyway.
If she's at university, she must be.
It would be a nice gesture to pay for accommodation, having paid for mine.
Yeah.
When I was at uni.
But I mean, parents aren't obliged to pay for anything, are they really? It's just that, you know, most loving parents would make the financial sacrifice to make sure the kids have what they want and what they need.
Yeah, it's a give that you're going to be paying out.
Yeah. Having slept upon the information I received yesterday of Dad's reluctance to pay Michelle's fees and of his further rudeness towards Mum, I decided that it was right to leave. My departure was a little more abrupt than I had foreseen it, but I could only play with the cards I am dealt. The most obvious place to relocate was Irene's.
Uh-oh.
Having contacted her to ensure my welcome, it turned out Pam would be in the vicinity in mere hours. So I rather hastily packed my belongings, Dad seemingly blind to my acts. When Pam did arrive, Glenn was with her and helped load my every possession onto a blue Suzuki 4x4. Then came the moment I knew I would dread, letting Dad know I was leaving. Has he not noticed you packing your stuff up?
I guess not.
He ensured me I was making a mistake moving down to Irene's and that I could do better than her. Oh no, this is making me feel really awkward. Does he think that's going to do to you? Like, even if you believe him, you are going to double down and go to prove him wrong. Like,
that is pretty bad. That's bad, as bad as it gets.
Yeah. Like, one, he should have said that, but two, what does he think? Like, you're going to be like, oh, no, Dad, you're right. You know, I can do better than her. Thanks for saving me. I'm going to move back in with you. Like, that's not how these things happen.
It's an option to go down. There are no other options that I've got in terms of places to stay.
No.
Probably not the smartest decision.
No, since you've been dating for 4 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is going to be a disaster.
Not that I would even entertain an answer to why he would think this. I simply said, that's your opinion, not mine.
He's made that decision easier for me, saying that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Can you remember him saying it? Like, did he come out of the house, like, all angry or?
It was a conversation in the front of his old place.
Yeah.
And I think I literally came out with bag in hand and I was about to get, you know, go away. And I think maybe I had said, oh, I'm going to be going, but maybe didn't make it clear that was going to be like intentionally, like I didn't want to be around there. But I remember, not wanting to say anything, but knowing that I had to.
Mm.
And just being disappointed. Yeah.
That sucks.
Definitely a low point. Like, I mean, things have, you know, changed now.
Yeah.
And
That must have been really, really hard.
Yeah.
Like, to feel
22.
Yeah, like, 22. to feel like, you know, you can't stay at your dad's because of a loyalty to your mum and your sister, realistically. Like, you wanted to get out anyway, but I think if you'd have been able to choose, you would have waited until you had something secured or you had work or something.
Yeah.
But you obviously felt that loyalty to your mum and your sister and felt like you could no longer support your dad or look to be supporting him by staying with him when all that was going on.
There's already been a catalogue of, you know, probably poor choices.
Probably poor choices.
Yeah, like, I mean, in terms of like not trying to look for other types of work.
There have been many, many poor choices.
Like the spending habits. So like, I'm still in university mode.
Yes.
I think money is just free.
Yeah. you don't seem to realize that you need money to pay for like living things like rent and power and gas and food and petrol. Like, you just, your money is all disposable.
And it's the thing that concerns me is at this point in time, I am not thinking about anybody else but myself.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I feel bad for all the people that were around me at the time. And I don't know how many other people are like this, but
I think a lot of people are in like the teenage and younger years.
You don't really get taught how to be financially savvy.
You know, you kind of need somebody to teach you how to do that.
Yeah.
Once Irene, Ray and Betsy had left for Lexine's first day's trade, I was once again left with someone else's empty house with only myself to entertain. Before any of the computer glee, I went out to buy some food. Irene only had soup in stock. I found a useful grocer's just around the corner, did my best to maintain a reasonably healthy item list of things to buy. I got the fruit, veg and other non-meat products, but I'll go do some bigger shops at some stage. Irene came back briefly from her seemingly non-stop work lifestyle, which is imposed upon her formerly work hard, play hard lifestyle. Later, I put on Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, which I hadn't seen for ages, and was handily in Irene's DVD collection. I tried to keep clean and not impose myself too much on the house. I even cleaned the shower as a goodwill gesture.
What a hero.
The fact that you think that the house you stayed in for free, you're going to clean the shower as a gesture of goodwill rather than just doing your part around the house is fucking hilarious. When you have sat and played computer games and read and watched TV all fucking day.
Yeah.
And I bet you didn't even do a good job of cleaning the shower.
Well, I think I'm just doing anything to distract myself from the mess that I'm in.
Yes.
And it's not going to get any better.
Next time you clean our shower, I'm going to call it a gesture of goodwill.
January the 18th. What confusing days these are. No direction, no purpose, just a casserole of indecipherable actions. I went to the shops this morning for a more substantial food hunt. I regularly opted for the more healthy option, either because I want to honour my New Year's resolution or because I thought it would benefit weight loss, making my body ready for football. Why do it at all, one might ask.
Why?
I don't even know if I'll be playing much longer, certainly not at Wilston. It's a mission to get there from Southport. Wilston's all the way back near Dad's. Trust me, I've tried today. In fact, it was a long, expensive, lonely, boring episode. I don't know if I can repeat it. To travel so far for a training session certainly raised a few eyebrows amongst the other players. Wednesday the 19th. I have to get some kind of job to help pay for rent at Irene's house, so I went to Centrelink. The computer system they had on had a few jobs on offer, so I got some information printed out. I rang the number, and when I got home for a position in a clothes store, it seems I need some sort of job seeker's ID, but I don't know what it is for. That suddenly seemed like a fat waste of time, so I plonked myself on the sofa and fell asleep.
Jesus.
I need a job seeker's ID to get a job, and that seems like a waste of time.
Of course. Of course. Anything in the too hard basket.
When I woke up, I could scarcely muster the motivation to get up and do anything other than go to the kitchen, get some Nutella and finger feed myself with the nutty, chocolatey goodness. And proceed to play champ for 3 hours straight.
Oh, my God. I'm pretty sure it was only a week ago that you'd started this new life where you were going to be amazing and motivated.
I've got 19 days into the year.
But you started on the 10th, that was right. You started on the 10th.
So not 9 days.
Yeah.
Mum called earlier. I'm glad she did, so it was good to talk. I told her I might come home early. I miss England. That's the first time I've said that.
Yeah. I don't think you miss England.
You don't think I do?
You don't miss England. You just miss the life that was easier there.
Yeah. If I come home a few months early, I'll get the English summer. But most importantly, I'll get to see all my family and friends. They mean more to me now than I've ever appreciated. But for now, I'll have to get back on with life here and what it has to offer.
You just didn't get the Australian dream that you were expecting. Some undeniably big things happened to me today. First of all, I took some of Ray's advice and looked for temp agencies to help me get some work. I just had to send them my letter and resume over the internet. Secondly, I phoned Southport Soccer Club and asked them if they were looking for players. I was invited to come for training next week on Thursday and Tuesday. I went to the shop to send some emails, and who should I find an email from? Dad. But I won't talk about that yet. Ooh.
If it's the email I'm thinking of, it's possibly the worst email I've ever been sent.
Oh my God, I hope it's here. I received an email from Birds Lardner Landscape Architects. They want me to call them to organise a meeting. I did just that when I got home. Irene was there when I got back. She'd worked up a sweat, cleaned up and looked pissed off. Shit, has she found my porn?
I'm sure she's just pissed off because I haven't cleaned up.
Exactly. I never found out. She went back to work pretty swiftly. So, the email from Dad. He basically said Irene was ugly, said I could do better and that I should come home.
It was a bit longer than that and a bit more... It was a bit more
detailed. Why would he write that down?
Yeah, I don't know if I've written it in there, but he said something along the lines of, you're only doing it for the sex. He said that Irene's ugly. He said that I could do better. So he kind of half said some of that stuff before I went down.
My God.
I was fucking raging. It was the most embarrassing thing I think I've ever read in my life.
My jaw is agape. Like, I cannot believe that somebody would write that and, like, be so, like, convinced that it's, you know, the right thing.
He was 100% convinced.
I mean, I just don't understand what, when people do stuff like this, I can understand doing it, like, in a fit of rage, you know, and writing something that you don't mean. But he's had a couple of days to sit and think, and he still thinks that, like, what does he think the outcome is going to be? You're going to be like, oh, yeah, no, Dad, you're right. She is ugly. I can do better. Please come and pick me up immediately. I've made a terrible mistake. Like, what? Like, genuinely, what does he actually think the outcome is? That is really bad.
Yeah.
And looks don't matter. Otherwise, I never would have married you.
Oh, thanks for that.
You're welcome. I love you. You know you're handsome. I tell you all the time. I forwarded his email to Mum, Phil and Michelle and told them how shallow I thought he was. Dad's email bothered me, but I thought it would be wise not to reply there and then. That is the smartest thing you have said since we started reading these diaries. I might not at all. Later on, I decided I would go for a job, and it was interesting to find so many parks and sports fields in the immediate area. It was hot and humid. My body worked up a real sweat. When I got home, no sooner had I worked through a few sets of sit-ups, Heidi entered. She and I would be crashing at Irene's. She's looking happier post-Andy. We went out and got some booze. As Irene, Chippy, Ray and Betsy all got back, the smoke rose, the suds were knocked back, and ping pong balls flew by. I was shitting bricks this morning over the meeting at Birds, Lardner, Landscape Architects. We arranged to meet at a cafe in Southport called Tonic. I thought prematurely about how stupid I would look reeling out my tatty old uni work, getting coffee smeared all over it, and forgetting all the regular bullshit I come out with over landscape position interviews. I need not have got so wound up about it because the two guys that turned up were the most easygoing landscape architects I've ever met. They had a neat little A3 portfolio of work to show me, and my work was not as expansive in its size as I'd remembered it being in my previous interviews. What these two guys, Birds and Lardner, are looking for is a guy who can help do CAD and then go to do a wider variety of tasks later on. They are doing their own practice, which is only a few years old, because they felt restricted in large companies. They sympathise over my situation of rejection and agreed it is tough to get started anywhere when the prerequisite skills are those which you can only gain through employment. I mean, how are we supposed to get into the industry in the first place? They're impressed with the way I'd taken my own initiative on getting a computer and possessing the AutoCAD program. They said they'd start me up in February once they've set up their new office in Surface Paradise.
Wow.
That's great.
It is great. I just can't remember it actually ever happening.
No, spoiler alert. It was a stinging hot day today and I was set to go to the beach. I got as far as the Southport shops and decided to browse through the DVD sections of several stores. I got hungry, so was forced into getting a Macca's. Forced into getting a Macca's.
Oh dear.
Watch Remember the Titans. That's my favourite movie.
This diet's just gone to shit, hasn't it?
I mean, you lasted about 3 days, so.
I got a lift with Irene as she took herself and the others to work via a push start. Her car's fucked. I sat in Lexines and ate breakfast whilst reading British football newspaper. So I had no internet at the time. The only way I could see football results from the UK was through print. That is old school.
So old school.
This was absorbing and relaxing. Then I headed to the beach, but made the big mistake of not buying and wearing sunscreen. I wasn't in the sun for long, but by my standards, but the harsh Australian sun has left my back agonisingly burnt. You idiot. What an idiot.
Mm.
Once back home, I played on Champ. Suddenly, it was the evening, and Alan and Laurie were around to pick me up. We were meeting Pam and Glenn at Lexine. The food was astonishing. Every bite was exquisite. I had a prawn entree, salmon dish for mains, and chocolate fondue for dessert. Washed down with Coronas and cappuccino. This was a meal I won't forget in a hurry. Lexine seems to have taken off in just a few days, but it's not just the food that's impressive. The service is royal. I should have gone down to bed a lot earlier than I did. It's the big day out tomorrow, and I'm already burnt to a crisp.
Have you afforded big day out tickets?
I have no idea.
We're nearly at the end of January. You've not earned anything. I don't understand how this money has stretched so far.
I just have no idea.
No.
Today was frustrating. It was the big day out, a huge one-day music festival on the Gold Coast. So this is what 70,000 people look like. Myself, Irene, Pam and Glenn parked at someone's house who was very close to the venue. After a suicidal trot down the edge of the highway, we arrived at the gate. I did not receive the program of music as I had been assured by my ticket. I caught glimpses of the times and locations of acts from a program Pam had procured. We went to the main stage first to see the Donners. It was really heating up by midday. Copious amounts of suntan lotion was required to prevent me from further frazzling. We bid farewell to the Franks and made for the Chill Hill, where we took in the Hives, Eskimo Joe, the Music, Grinspoon and the John Butler Trio, which were particularly cool. Irene, Pam and Glenn went elsewhere to the Hilltop Hoods and the streets, leaving me on my own, which pissed me off. I opted to stay and watch Slipknot and System of a Down on the main stages. This was good to watch, but I was lonely and everyone else seemed to be having a better time than me. Pissed people began staggering around the hill and falling over, causing human avalanches. Fights broke out and things began to feel spoilt. I didn't dig Powderfinger like everyone else seemed to, and just when I thought the Chemical Brothers could save the day, Irene got a headache. Sun and drug-induced, so we left. That sucked. I don't think I mentioned all of the acts that were there, but interestingly, one of the other acts were... Oh, no, here we go. The Big Day Out. Big Day Out 2005. There you go.
No way.
And that's the wristband that I was wearing. One of the headliners was the Beastie Boys.
Nice.
I wonder if they were on after... Okay, they were on after Powderfinger. So I didn't get to see the Chemical Brothers. Maybe I did get to... I'm sure I got to see a little bit of the Beastie Boys before we left. Because Chemical Brothers didn't start until 9:30. Yeah. That's unfortunate. But that's a hell of a lineup. Man, I miss music festivals.
Mm. Didn't get too much burn yesterday. My neck was the only bad spot. I thought my hat would shelter the front side, but the back was fine. I put cream on that. There isn't much food in the house, not even much worth scrounging from the others. I went to the shop but forgot my bank card. It's almost empty anyway, so I used the tenner I had and just bought junk food.
So I've got $10?
Yeah, and you bought junk food with it.
Oh my God.
Thirthable. So much for the New Year's resolution then. I can't keep it up at the moment. I have too much else on my mind. It was cloudy throughout the day and it seemed like the rain may force a postponement of football training. I rang with a W.
Rang.
Southport Soccer Club to ensure this was not so. I didn't know how long it would take to get there. I left with about 40 minutes until training was to commence. I wasn't far off the mark, but I was slightly dismayed to see the group of players doing laps of the field on my arrival. It wasn't an easy walk. I found my way here easily enough, but it was my only means of getting there, so stuff it. I simply jumped into my gear and joined up with the others.
It was a more intense session than I anticipated, but we did a few practice games. I was able to see the level of skill and stamina the other players had to offer. I was certainly envious of their stamina in such heat and humidity, but if I can adapt to this, then skill is not so much the issue. I have enough of that. It was good, really. Match practice was what I needed. Post-training, I joined a selection of the players in the bar in the clubhouse. The facilities are very good, and the coach outlined as we chatted over a few drinks. I also met a fellow from Birmingham called Patrick. Nice bloke. I snared a lift off him back to Southport, where he also lives conveniently. He offered lift for the training sessions in the future, which is great. I was fairly knackered after that and was glad to hit the hay.
Oh my God, this is just an absolute nightmare. Mm. Like, I've got no money. I've got no prospects. Well, that Birds Lardner thing, though, like, that's thrown me. Like, I've got no...
Do you not remember meeting up with them?
I remember meeting them, but I don't remember them saying, we've got some stuff for you.
Oh. Because it sounds like, well, from what you said, they're just two people setting off on their own that basically need a CAD monkey.
Yeah.
And they need you in, need you cheap to do all the, like, documentation.
Okay, there might be some more here. Today emphasized my frustration with the way things are going right now. I'm almost out of cash again. I haven't heard back from Birds Lardner yet about the landscape position. Surely they're still interested. I need to work badly. Meanwhile, I'm using what little money I have on bare essentials.
Like new DVDs and corduroy pants.
And porn. The house was a mess and Irene came back from work to do an overkill cleanup. Oh my God, this is embarrassing. This not only involves her moving her own shit out of the way, but mine too. She might think that the places she's put my stuff is fantastic, but there's nothing more frustrating than finding your possessions having sprouted legs. The thing is, she doesn't know where she's put the stuff. Anyway, not to dwell on it, but I can't say anything more provocative. I'm not paying rent or anything. Yes, Mark.
My mouth Be thankful.
Is, my mouth is gagged. Be You're a bum.
For what you have. There seems to be a lot of people like coming in and out of this place.
So Betsy and Ray house share.
Yeah.
With Irene.
Okay.
And I'm just crashing there.
So that must be frustrating for them as well, to have someone in the space that isn't paying.
It was. I don't know if I write it here, but people were getting pissed off.
Yeah.
I got a few constructive things done today. Some mundane, like ironing, and other tasks bolder looking for a job. I phoned some of the telemarketing sales posts, mainly located in Southport. I had a small job to do from Ray. He needed some restaurant menus and protocols typing out, so I obliged. Had nothing better to do. The food is running low, particularly due to my lack of fans, and the fact that food I have been getting is just not being eaten by myself. But once again, I am paying no rent, so the sock is in my mouth. This is just, it makes me cringe, this whole, like, stretch.
Mum, I'd put some money in my account for food, so I got a lift to the shops off Irene and spent some. It sucks having to borrow money again, but what choice do I have? I can't make people give me a job.
Because you've applied for so, so many of them.
Yeah,
you're relying on this landscape job coming in, well, and you're not applying for anything else.
I'm recalling what happened. I'm starting to remember what happens next, and I start to scrape the barrel for jobs.
Today was as eventful as it was bizarre. There was pissed off people left, right and centre, but I'll get onto that.
Here we go.
Ray had a late start at the restaurant. I got a lift from him to get to the beach. We went via a liquor warehouse where he needed stock up for the opening party tonight. I'd never seen a place like Dan Murphy's before. The variety was immense. Ray and I walked out with $720 worth of booze.
Wow.
That was 11 crates of beer and a box of vodka.
Oh.
I was on the beach for a few hours with sun cream where I swam, read and listened to music. I went back to the restaurant to see if I could get a lift. Oh my God. I'm embarrassed for you. Irene was at home, but scarcely had the time to give me a lift. I searched for a bus but didn't see them stopping, so I continued walking home. This pissed me off after a while. About halfway back to Southport, Irene rang me and insisted I got a taxi. There was none of those stopping either. 2 hours after I left the beach, I got home, by which time it was dark. I really didn't care for the night in store, but I went anyway. There were so many people at Lexine. Pam was bitchy with Glenn and wasn't happy about giving me a lift there. Irene wasn't happy I'd walked home. What was I going to do? Fly? No, you just should have gone to the beach.
Oh my God.
On the day when it's their opening party. Diane and Ken were both there and I spoke to each of them. Ken passed on a message from Mum, get a fucking job. I laughed. Alan and Laurie were both there. Alan questioning whether I'd given Irene the shits. I conceded. I was seemingly more sober than everyone else. Alan's twin, Lee, was quite drunk. He got Alan and Laurie and Irene's auntie Margie into the strippers club over the road. That was pretty funny. I was so tired by the end, I was crabby and a bit drunk too.
This is not going well.
This is like, it's hurting me. Like, this is painful
to
read.
It's coming crashing down and I don't even realize it.
Yeah.
Well, I do, but I don't.
You realize it, but you don't accept it.
Yeah. I am just sinking.
This is awful. Like, I obviously know, like, the general story, but to read it day by day, I've got secondhand embarrassment for you. And I just cannot believe that this is continuing. And I would love, like, Irene's perspective. If we could find Irene's diary over this month.
I remember what happens over the next few months, and it gets worse.
Oh, I can't do it.
It gets worse.
Because that poor girl is opening up a restaurant. So working in a restaurant is hard
Ambitious.
Anyway. Yeah, but like to open up a brand new restaurant.
In a partnership as well.
Yeah.
So her dad, Alan.
Yeah.
And Chippy's mum, I think it was. Yeah. They put up the money for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So all of their asses are on the line for this massive like project.
Yeah. So super ambitious, super hardworking. Like it sounds like she's there all the time.
Yeah.
And you were just like an annoying child that's like
Not cleaning.
She's coming home and having to pick up after you and clean after you. She's, you know, you're asking her for lifts here and there so you can go and enjoy your life and be on the beach when you should be out looking for a job. Like... And then you're getting pissy with her because you can't get home. You haven't got any money to pay for food.
Yeah.
You haven't got any money to pay and go out and do things. Uh-huh. Like,
well, let's not summarize it all just yet because we've got 2 days left.
Okay, sorry, please go ahead.
Okay, 2 more days of this fucking horrible month. Since I'd gone to bed earlier than everyone else last night, there was more to hear of. Whilst myself and Betsy had caught a cab home, which I was quite confused about at the time, Irene and the others had headed off to Melba's, a club where they were supposed to meet Damo, an airline owner, and the rest of his birthday bash entourage. Irene's lot got there first, but it was too late for Damo's lot to get in, so they all headed back to Damo's house. His mate Steve, who was driving them, was stopped on the way and done for drink driving.
Oh, shit.
He'd only just received his license back from the previous occasion. Fool. Anyhow, they all got wasted on pills and coke, and Irene's lot came home but continued the night playing ping pong. There was another opening for Lexine later. It seems they are all longing for time off from that place. They need more staff. Why couldn't I have worked for them?
I was literally just about to say that. I wonder if there is a reason. Maybe Irene didn't want you like just around all the time.
Yeah.
Or maybe you just never asked.
And then I've said, I wouldn't work there though. That'd be a shit idea, would it? It's so hot and humid at the moment. I miss air conditioning. I miss my mates too, and I miss family. I reckon I'll rebook a plane ticket home and I'll be home in June and spend only about 10 days in Malaysia. So I still think I'm going to go to Malaysia. Oh my God, just delusional.
No, Matt, you're going to get a job and like get loads of money and go back home with like thousands. Totes. That's
ridiculous. I was a bit surprised this morning with Irene's sincerity in telling me I had to get a job immediately. I must have portrayed the wrong message these past weeks. Oh, really?
Oh my God, I'm so surprised. This is brand new information.
Shock, shock, horror. Because I've been trying to get a job. Just
have
not
you?
Trying hard enough. Apparently.
How many jobs have you applied for, Mark?
Well, we can count on like one hand, can't we? There was like the Birds Lardner thing.
Yeah.
Telemarketing or something, wasn't there?
I don't remember telemarketing.
There was a telemarketing thing. There was mention of it in there. And then what was the other one? It was a clothes shop.
Did you actually apply for that? I thought you just said it was at the job centre and that's what you saw.
And then I didn't get the job seeker's ID.
Yeah, that's right.
So one?
Yeah, exactly.
It was the way that she put it to me, though. She was looking for. She said looking for a job is a full-time job and insisted that I should have been getting up at the same time as herself, Ray and Betsy, and been looking for a job. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, not spending 3 hours at the beach.
I felt like a bludger when she told me she couldn't afford paying both for her and my rent. That I'm guilty of. Oh, I'm such a dick. How bad is this?
It's terrible. It's awful.
How do people do this? Because there are people that will just sponge off people forever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but you were a lot younger then, and you've quite happily done it for the past 6 months because you haven't had a solid job.
No.
Or been able to do anything for the past 6 months. And if Irene, you seem surprised that Irene has said this to you.
Yeah, there's genuine surprise in
that. If you were genuinely concerned about it, you would be looking for a job as a full-time job, but you're not.
No.
You're like, come in a month, it'll be fine. You know, I'll have enough money to go to Malaysia for 10 days.
I think I've touched on this before. There is no work ethic there.
No, not at all. Not at all. So you would quite happily, if Irene would let you, you would quite happily continue to do this until you left.
Probably. So without hesitation, I looked at the weekend paper again, circling about five potential jobs. I rang around and initially had no luck until I phoned a local telemarketing group.
There we go.
I spoke to a woman called Miriam who invited me to an interview. The location of the office is so close to where I'm at, it's unreal. 5 minutes away max, no kidding. I'm going to give it a go. It's only about $12 an hour and there's bonuses though. Basically, I'll be offering people brochures on tax return benefits. It's paid weekly, so I'll be able to remove the sock from my mouth soon. When Irene was telling me off this morning, she also demanded I clean up my stuff in her room. So I did that too. Her stuff is still everywhere, but she's happy, so it's all good. I read some more of Bill Bryson, and then I lounged about as I do. That pretty much captures...
Sums it up.
It sums up the entire entire month.
Yeah.
And lounged about.
As I do. Well.
This guy.
I'm finding this more and more difficult to read, you know. This is hard work.
It's just unbelievable.
Poor Irene. I've never felt sorry for an ex-girlfriend like this before.
That is a hard race.
But I'm also thankful to her because she obviously did some form of training with you so that I was able to cope with you. Thank you, Irene. Thank you.
I can't give anything else away.
I really want to hear her side of the story. No, we need to wait for next episode. Don't tell me what happens.
No.
I feel like you need to message her and apologise.
I don't even have contact with her.
You've got contact with Pam.
Yeah.
You could find out.
Yeah, well... I'm sure word will go through. And that is tragic. Absolutely tragic month.
That was that's the worst one.
It went from such a peak, I'm on the Sunshine Coast on holiday.
Yeah.
And I'm ended up
That was really difficult to get through. What is wrong with you?
God knows.
This is why people don't record this kind of stuff, because everyone's got these weirdness in the past and nobody needs to relive it in such detail.
Yeah, there's probably too much detail in that.
It's probably too much.
I don't know if I'm doing this I'm pushing the diaries away.
But I feel
get away from me.
But I feel when you write these things down, you only write the best bits. You know what I mean?
The best bits?
No, I know, but this is what I mean. I feel in your mind, you don't think it's as bad as it is.
Evidently. I think there was only one day of recognition there.
Yeah.
And then Irene reads the riot act.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
And you pick it up for 12 hours.
It's now or never.
Yeah.
And I still end up lounging around.
Yeah. I know. You don't
I think everyone can see where this is going.
Yeah. You clean up your stuff, but don't help to do anything else.
Yeah. I can't remember at this stage how long I end up in Australia for.
Okay.
But the last period there is some of the lowest of the low.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel really sorry for baby Mark, even though you've kind of done it to yourself.
Absolutely 100% done it to myself.
But it's it's just making mistakes when you're young and you don't understand as well. That's part of it. And part of it is all part of growing up. But normally you would have someone to fall back on, a family member that you actually care about and want to spend time with.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be so bad if this had happened in England and everything had gone to shit. You would have just moved back home with your mum and you would have been fine. It would have been a little bit rubbish. But the fact that you've kind of estranged yourself from your dad and he's made things worse, with his opinion and, the emails that he sent, has meant that you are just literally out on your own. If Irene chucks you out, you could essentially be on the streets.
If we sort of take it all back to the start, part of me thinks that it was never It wasn't a good idea for me to have gone to university in the first place so soon.
Mm.
I wonder in some way if it would have benefited me from delaying going to uni or maybe completely and then going in to do some sort of work to build up some kind of work ethic and discipline, because nothing throughout uni, apart from a few short bursts, seemed to show any degree of application or discipline
in getting over the line.
But do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't know what you were like when you first came out of uni, but do you remember having much work ethic?
So university, I barely scraped through. Barely. But then as soon as I got into an actual job and I was being paid, I've always had a really, really high work ethic for other people.
Yeah. But I think I've just got this complacency about me.
You are very laid back.
Yeah. Well, still I am. But at this point in time, this like level of complacency and kind of expectation that things will all just be all right and pan out.
Yeah.
And I literally haven't got, you know, two dimes to rub together.
But maybe you needed that. Like maybe that needs to be the kick up the arse. Like if you'd have stayed in the UK and everything had just kind of cruised, would you have gone into your 30s still having that kind of, you know, low drive and low work ethic potentially?
Yeah.
It's all part of growing up, isn't it? Really. It's cringy as fuck. But it is all part of growing up. Like we all have to make these mistakes.
Well, should we round things up then?
Let's round it.
This has been possibly the worst.
Very eye-opening.
Month.
Yeah, very eye-opening.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Irene.
First
and
ever.
And we apologize, Irene.
Yeah. Sorry.
Poor girl.
Good day.
Bye.
And that is the end of the episode. Click like, subscribe, and follow Badly Written Boy.